Well, it's good to be here tonight. I'm glad to be converted and sanctified, and I think we've had a week of answered prayers, and glad Paige is up here with us tonight, and that's just want to give all the glory to God and just thank him for hearing our prayers and blessing her and taking good care of their family. I thought today, I watched this video. I think it's kind of been shared a lot, so you've probably seen it, but it was this lady, this mom, and she was said her opening comment was, if you can't find God, then you're not looking. And I thought that was really true because he's there all the time. And sometimes we just aren't looking where we should look or where we should see. And she went on to talk about how she had two little kids and they were in the store. And I think an older couple noticed them and was just kind of reminiscing of their when their kids were small and started talking to her about, you know, talking to her kids. And they just were, you know, having a good conversation. And they live in the beach area. And so they said they had some shark's teeth. And so they was like, have you ever found any shark's teeth? And they were like, no. And so he went on to say, like, how they found the shark's teeth and what they look like and where you're supposed to look for them and how you find them. And so the mom kind of was intrigued, and she leaned in and kind of heard what they were saying and thought it was interesting. So they went on down to the shore, and she said immediately they saw a lot of shark's teeth that they were, you know, they just started picking them up because they knew how to look for them then, and they knew what they were supposed to be doing. And she said, I've come to this beach for 30 years, and I've never found these shark's teeth like they said to do, but they had told her how to look for them and how to spot them and how to find them. And she went on to say, you know, that God is in so many places, and if you, he's promised to be there for us when we need him. It's just, are you really looking for him? Are you really noticing in all the things that he's in, and that he's everywhere? And we just have to, I think, just make a conscious effort of, like, seeing where Jesus is all the time. And so I was reading today, and it made me think of this scripture. Hopefully you can see where it connects, or it did in my mind. But I read about Elijah, and then I read about, we all pretty much are familiar with the story of the Mount Carmel, but I'm going to, hopefully this won't be too much text, but I'm going to kind of read through this a little bit just to give the background. In the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, in its 17th verse, and it says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So we know that they put the bullock out, and we know that, you know, the Baal's prophets mocked Elijah and mocked our God. And but then in the 29th verse it says, and it came to pass when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Praise the Lord.
Yes, right.
And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Yes. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And here there was a famine in the land, there was a drought in the land, and here he was just crying out. He wanted God to be known as the true God, that these people were worshiping Baal, and that there was no sense in that, and that he wanted them to be sorry for what they had done, and they had made that altar, and he wanted God to declare himself, and he was saying, hear me, O Lord, hear me. And haven't we been in that time where we've cried out like that? I know I have, where I've just cried out to God to hear me, to hear my prayer, and he was serious about it. He felt like he was the only one left that was going to serve God, that he was the only prophet left. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, Lord, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went up to eat to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And when he went up and looked, and he said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. So just that little cloud that he saw, God was in that cloud. God had been in the fire. That God had been in that, licking up that sacrifice. God had been there, but God was in this little cloud, and he was bringing that rain. If you looked for it, right? And then down in the 19th chapter, so now Ahab's going to tell Jezebel about what Elijah had done, and she's not happy about it. And it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He was in such a depressed state, and to think that just before this, it was such a glorious state that he had, his prayer had been answered, and it had been answered in a mighty way. He was, I mean, if you think about it, he was on the mountaintop, literally. I mean, he was, his prayer had been answered. He had been delivered. I mean, what he had been saying was true to everyone. Like, everyone believed what he had said. It was proven. It was a great moment. And to see that cloud in the sky, and to see the rains come, and I mean, it was amazing. And to go from that to here in just this short time, it was in such a depressed state, and that's just kind of how life takes its turn sometimes. Sometimes it can just be the most happiest time, and then the next week, something terrible happens. I mean, we are experiencing wonderful things this weekend, and we're experiencing sad things this weekend. that there's families that are experiencing really rejoiceful times, and there's families that are experiencing really sad and sorrowful times. But we have to realize that God is in it all. In everything, God is in it. He was in it on Mount Carmel, and he was in it when Elijah was down and depressed and sad and felt lonely, and he felt like he was the only one who believed in God anymore. He felt like he was it. He's like, why should I even go on if I'm just the only one left? If I'm the only one here to preach the word anymore, what is the good of it? What am I even doing with my life? Is how he felt. But he had to realize that God was in this. In this moment, God was still there with him. And he said, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And it was just prepared for him. It was given to him. God knew exactly what he needed and what to provide him to make a way for him. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. He was sustained for 40 days and 40 nights on this cake and water. I mean, don't you think that was proof to him? God was able to sustain him in whatever came about, God was able to take care of him. He was providing, he was giving him just what he needed. And I feel like, you know, in our darkest moment, God can put a cake in front of us and say, eat and drink. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to lead you in this path. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Yeah. He's just asking him, what are you doing? What do you want out of your life? What do you want me to do with your life? What are you going to do from here? Yeah. Are you going to keep going for me? Are you going to keep on the path? Are you going to give up? Don't do that. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. He was so down and depressed and sad and thinking that he was the only one that was going to carry this on. And what good was it? Because they were after him to kill him. So what was he even doing? He's probably thinking, I've been traveling here 40 days, 40 nights. I'm in a cave. I mean, I don't see anyone else to preach to. Everybody else, you know, made other altars. They're serving another god. What am I doing? And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. That's what God can give you. A still small voice. That's what he can give you. Whether you're in your happiest of happy times or whether you're in the saddest, most sorrowful time, God can give you a still small voice that's going to carry you through that situation and just take you forward. And that's what he needed right then. That's exactly what he needed, that still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Yep. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He asked him again. Yeah. I think he probably had a change in attitude right then. I think he got some encouragement and felt worthwhile and felt that he had a job to do and that whatever it was, he was going to do it because the God of Israel had just spoken to him in a still small voice and gave him exactly what he needed. And when you're in that place, you can believe that that same God is talking to you, and he has a purpose for you. He has a reason for living for you, and a way, he has a path that's for you, and a job to do. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. But they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Israel, over Syria. He had a job. And God gave him instructions. And I feel like God will give us instructions if we get in the place. He understands our situation. He knows the job at hand, and he'll give us a way to do it. He'll show us the path. And the Lord, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So he gave him some more, look, you've got some people. They're going to back you up. They're going to be helpers one of another. They're going to help you carry this gospel on. It's not just you. He was thinking that he was all alone. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. He didn't even know about it. He didn't even know that that existed. Sometimes we think, you know, well, it's just, you know, if it's just me, you know, in this big school or big workplace or wherever, my community, my big neighborhood, my this, my that. But you think you're the only one. But God has people. God has people that want to serve him. I think sometimes we just don't look hard enough to see it. There's other people that want to serve God. They want to be good Christian people. We just have to look and see. And yes, be a witness to those people.
Right.
And be helpers one of another. Be that good neighbor. Be that one that helps someone else. That's where God is, in that neighbor that helps out. He was in that cake that served Elijah and sustained him. He was in that cloud. He was in that juniper tree that he sat under. He just didn't realize that he was there. He was that cave that was there giving him shelter. He just didn't realize that it was God. And I think it's up to us to realize that God's all around us all the time. It's just that we're just not noticing it. He's the one that's keeping us safe from that storm. He's the one that's keeping us safe from these car accidents that happened just recently. He was that man that helped Sister Holly in her accident. Like, these are the things that are... God is providing for us all the time. It's just that we're just not seeing it every moment. We just have to pay more attention.
Amen.
Are we really paying attention to what God's doing? He had 7,000 more people. And it says here that, right, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. There were people that weren't serving Baal. There were people that weren't going to turn. And Elijah just didn't realize that God had a plan. God has a plan. He does. Sometimes things may seem hopeless, but God has a plan. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So he had someone else that was going to help him, that was he can pass his knowledge on to, and that his the spirit that had blessed him so much. And I just want us all not to feel alone. There's other people that want to serve him. And just realize that God is all around us all the time. I want to look for him. Yeah. This week, as the week goes on, I want to, you know, maybe you can text a friend and just say, I saw God in this situation. You know, that was a miracle, that he was right there for me during that moment, right when I needed him, right in that scary situation. I looked over and there was God, you know. And I feel like that way today. The other day I was walking on the beach, and I like to collect sea glass, and that's just something I enjoy doing. And, you know, I just never realized that God was in that. He was teaching me a lesson. Next time that you're, you know, doing something and you see a situation happen, God can work in the whatever you're in, whether it's your job or, you know, Sister Rachel talked about her job the other night and how God is using whatever you're doing as an example to you. And just think of that as God's talking to you. God's trying to teach you something. And as I was walking and I was picking up these things, and I thought, you know, this, you know, crummy piece of glass just looked, you know, it was probably all, you know, ragged and jagged and sharp and broken. And it was probably just tossed off a boat somewhere one day. And yet, you know, through the waves and sand, and it has, you know, eroded away those nasty edges and has made something really beautiful out of it and really polished it. And that's what God can do with anybody in their life. And, you know, maybe take note of when God's speaking to you just through whatever it is. It can be something that you really enjoy doing, and God just uses that as an example of something that's life worthy. And I just want to look for God and Jesus in everything, because he's all around us, and just try not to forget that he's right there with you. And we appreciate Brother David being here tonight, and we appreciate your mom and how steadfast that she was in a light, and she represented Jesus, and she was a light that we could look to. And when we look at each other, we see Jesus. And let's not forget about that we are representing him.
Right.
And I'm thankful for those people in our church that are steadfast and faithful and right, unmovable. And I appreciated Sister Bridget so much in that she was faithful in that way. And I really don't remember not knowing her. She's just been here my whole life, and it's just a steady rock. And that's one way, another place that we see Jesus, in our rocks of steadfast people, sisters and brothers, aunts, uncles, mothers, fathers that have stood steadfast and strong for us as good examples. So just thankful to be here tonight. Everyone pray for me.
Amen.